one of the things that's such a signature part of your style as a soloist is the sense of melody is so strong. When you solo, always,
right,
it's so melodic. And I don't know if there's anything that you could say about that in terms of what you're listening for or what you like.
Well, I know what I'm listening for. It's like it's a song within a song.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I listen to some guys, and all of a sudden, a solo comes up, and you say, what the fuck? I mean, it's fast and everything, but what does that have to do with the song?
Right.
And I defy somebody to send me back the melody. And so because I couldn't play that fast...
Well, we know that you can play fast, because we've all heard you play fast.
Well, yeah, but not like ridiculous, like, holy shit. It's nice to be able to, when the solo comes, it's like a little ride and takes you away somewhere and brings you back.
Right, right.
You know, and that's what I try to think of. Can I sing this fucking song?
Well, and it also sounds, I mean, tell me what you think about this, you know, it's so vocal, you know, it goes along with the melody, that it's the melody strong,
yeah.
Your touch and your articulation.
That's what it is. I am trying to play a melody within the song.
Right.
But sort of something that has to do with the song. You know, not like you got to scratch your head and say, what the hell is he thinking?
Right.
That's what I do try to go for that. There's a couple of times when I let it rip, but not without a reason.
Right.
Yeah.
An influence that I hear, but it's not, you know, like a plainly obvious influence, and tell me what you think of this, is Albert King. Because Albert's phrasing, so he's so beautiful and unpredictable, but very vocal.
Yeah, Albert had one lick.
Yeah, but he played it a lot of different ways.
He played the fucking thing inside out. I don't know how many times.
Exactly.
Different than B.B. King.
Very different. Yeah.
B.B., sometimes, I don't think he knew the difference between major or minor.
No, he played major thirds on the minor.
Yeah.
But they could get away with it somehow. It's crazy.
They could get away with it. But Albert, he had, first of all, turning the guitar upside down.
Right.
I wondered, because the first gig we did with him, second gig, Johnny Winter, Mountain, and Albert King at the Fillmore West.
Yeah.
And Albert's amps blew. He was using, the hell was the name of those amps?
The acoustics? Was he using the acoustics?
Yeah, and it blew, so he had no amp. And that was the first night that I used my son's with the Coliseum PA head.
Wow.
So I really didn't know what yet was magical about those amps. So I guess whoever was in charge of his shit asked if he could use my amp, and he didn't know what the fuck I had to
do. It's funny.
Yeah, he had a bad time with that. There was nothing I could do, but at least he went on.
Right.
Albert, to me, was... Felix showed me a picture of it. I mean, he was going to produce Albert King at one time.
Uh-huh.
And Albert King had a station wagon.
Mm-hmm.
And Albert could not... he could write his name.
No, I know he couldn't really write.
Yeah.
So, that lyric from Born Under Bad Time was kind of true.
Yeah, well, on the station wagon, on the door, it says, East Memphis, St. Louis, I think. St. Louis, Missouri. East Memphis, Missouri. Yeah, it wasn't Memphis, Tennessee.
Right.
East Memphis was a real bad part of Missouri or something. It said, East Memphis, Born Under a Bad Sign, Albert King,
mm-hmm.
on the door of the car, you know.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ, he's so big. Big
he's a big dude, yeah.
Yeah. I never met him, but man, there was something about that attitude, the way he played, you know.
It goes from blues, and then there's stuff that sounds like, you know, classical music, and...
That's what Randy Rhoads liked about me.
Yeah.
I met him and we were friends for a while, and then he died. But
Randy always did talk about your influence on him.
Good guy, man. He's better looking than most women, but yeah, I met him on the Aussie tour and we hung out for a long time ago.
Well, you know, it just made me think on Dream Sequence on Flowers of Evil, and you would do the volume swells, and it's you know, you get that sort of cello, Bach cello suite thing happening.
Yeah. That's what I was trying to get.
You got it.
Hey, what do you know about that?
Yet another influence on a lot of people. But, you know, I mean, maybe back to the thing about creating a composition and a composition, you know, Randy and Eddie, and you know, when guys like that would talk about you, they would always talk about your vibrato. And so that's another vocal sort of a thing to make the guitar sound like, you know, it's alive.
It's a voice.
Yeah.
You know, when the first string, the violinist stands up, or the section of the first chair, violinist stands up, and they play a solo, I listen to that vibrato. Yitzhak Perlman has a fantastic vibrato.
Right, right.
On the violin, and that's what I tried to emulate. Again, because I couldn't play fast, I tried to capitalize, what can I do really good?
Right, right.
And I worked on that so much. In fact, I was even... I saw this thing with Ace Frehley on the web. I don't know what the hell he was talking. He's talking to somebody. Oh, followed that guy from Trans-Siberian Orchestra, not Al. The other guy, Chris.
Uh-huh.
And he's talking about my vibrato. How Leslie's got this great vibrato. Even on that metal show that I, you know, was the voice of this year, I think Ace was on and someone else. And... No, Michael Schenker and guy from Metallica, Kurt Hammett, is it? They were talking about other guitar players, and Michael's... They asked him who his influences were, and of course, Michael, right, I don't have any influence, and then all of a sudden, he said, but Leslie West, I listen. I know he did, because I recorded Things for Imaginary Western with him when he wanted to do it. And I played Slide on it for Mike Varney, but then you heard him and Kurt talking about my vibrato.
Yeah.
I mean, and I worked at that thing. I still work on it.
Right.
You know,
right.
You're supposed to bring the note back to the note you start with. A lot of people, when they go into the vibrato, Andy, they stretch the string and they hold the string up there and they go into a shrill.
Right.
That's not the way it works.
Right.
If you listen to an opera singer, they start with that note and go, it's like a motor.
Right, right.
Starts, and it comes back to the, every quiver should come back to the original note.
You know, you're making me think of is, you know, when you play slide, it's the center of the movement is the note, you know.
Right.
You go above and below.
Yeah.
And you can make it small or you can make it as big as you want, as long as the center is the correct note.
Mick Taylor has a great one.
Oh, yeah.
He's Mick, got that kind of vibrato that, especially on, I think on... Is it on Sticky Fingers? You got the move.
Yeah. Yeah, that vocal thing is, you know, in your vibrato, it's slow and wide. It's a beautiful sound.
Well, that's what I work on.
Yeah.
I don't work on playing fast, but I sure work on the tone.
Right.
And I sure work on the vibrato.
And that's another thing, Leslie, is that, you know, you, and I'm sure you do it in a natural way, you know, there's a lot of different colors in your playing within the same phrase. You'll do a pinch harmonic and bite down on the string, and or then you'll get a big round sound. It's kind of amazing that you get all those sounds from one pickup.
You know, Larry DeMarzio said it's my right hand.
Yeah. Yeah, your right hand speaks 50 languages.
I got some letter from some guy. I don't know if it was linked. Oh, I sent it to my old agent's office. Entourage. I used to be with Satriani's agent.
Mm-hmm.
And then the letter said that they had a contest on who had the best, you know, octave jump, you know, the pitch.
Mm-hmm.
And I know for sure that I was doing it before Billy Gibbons.
Right.
I knew I was doing it before everybody.
Right.
And it was just because of what I have a broken pick. And the corner of the pick would have a lot of jagged little edges in it.
Right.
and I hit that string, I can make the string jump 5 times.
Right.
I learned how to do it. And the guy says, they didn't even mention you. He's like, he's mad at me. They didn't mention you, how good you are, whatever you want to call it. So I'm just looking at it and laughing. I said, yeah, well, let me write a letter and saying, what's that? And by the way, you know, if they didn't get it, they didn't get it. But, yeah, I hit it by accident. And right in the beach, with one pickup, you can do it all day long. There's no pickup there. Like, even on the fretless one that I used to have a long time ago. The pickup's in the way.
Right. Right.
You know, so.
But, you know, to get such a another part is to get such a variety of tone from one pickup, you know, I guess you're moving up and down the string and picking different area, you know, places on the string. And
it's also the attack.
Yeah, right. Exactly, yeah.
It's the right hand. You know, he was right, Larry.
Do you use a heavy pick? What kind of pick do you use?
I use the thinnest pick you can probably use.
The thinnest pick?
Yeah.
Wow.
And the flaps, when it's, I use a Fender Thin is really what I use.
Wow. That's cool.
And I save the picks when they break, man. When that point, the corner, breaks off, there's little jagged things in there. You should try it, Andy. Hit it 3 or 4 times, and you make that string jump 3 or 4 times if you hit it in the right place.
That's cool.
I guess on my tombstone, even though I'm going to be cremated, it could say Leslie West. It's neither major nor minor.
It's both. And you know, Leslie, I mean, there's so many guys like myself who've loved your playing for so long, and you've been such a humongous influence on generations of guitar players. Is there anything you could say about when you go out there and see some familiar faces and new faces? And
well, I see guitar players. I can recognize guitar players in the crowd. And my advice to guitar players to come and see us, tune up. I hate guys that fucking play, like, so fast and so, you know, so many scales. They're out of tune.
Right.
Before you do anything, it's like somebody told me when I took my road test. I took my road test, believe it or not, less than 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
First thing you do when you take your road test, put your seatbelt on and adjust the mirrors.
Right.
Or you're going to fail the test. I had a police officer took me to my road test, and he told me that.
Right.
First thing you should do, adjust that mirror and put on your seatbelt, or they'll fail you. And sure as shit, the first thing you're going to do when you play the guitar is tune up. Or I don't want to, you know? I mean, I'm sure you've heard guys, what the fuck? That's my advice. Tune up, Andy.
Yeah, well, I've heard that one before, personally.
Yeah. Hey, thanks a lot, man. If you need any more, you know, always can give me a call.
All right, great. Hey, Leslie, thanks, man.